Welcome back to Internet Frenzy.
We are finally back. We took a couple weeks off, summer, traveling, all the things, but we're back and we're ready to get going again. And this episode, you are not going to want to miss because it is a banger.
Banger City. It's been a minute. We've missed you guys.
We have missed you guys and we are ready to get back at it. So, with that, we are jumping right into it. The fake of last episode that you guys listened to, the 404 error. You guys, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it right now. It is one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. The stories are so good. But the fake was the Paul Walker sighting. So
Super fake.
super fake. RIP Paul Walker. Joe has a man crush on him, but you know, it is what it is. So that one was fake.
I used to.
Oh, not anymore.
Yeah, it died when he died.
Oh.
Ugh, that's
Oh.
terrible.
Okay, well, on that note, this week's episode is so good, and it is. I loved you. Dot dot dot. Then I Googled you.
Yo.
It's gonna be crazy. It's all about secrets, lies, and a dark past just one search away. So, and Joe, before we start on your story, I just gotta give a huge shout out to Waterboy. Thank you so much for sending these to us. And I gotta have one before Joe starts his story because I'm sorry. Like, I need to stay hydrated because these stories are gonna get me so parched.
Yeah, I mean, and you be staying thirsty too,
Oh,
so.
I'm a thirsty little girly, honestly. We just finished actually at the gym, so it's good. I'm getting my electrolytes in before we hit it with this little podcast.
I want to try it too, can I?
Yeah, I told you. I asked you. I said, "Do you want me to get you a drink?" And you said, "Nah, I'm good."
Well, that was before I knew that it was water boy.
I know. Have you had the watermelon flavor? You've had other ones, but
This is what I was going to say is I'm a drink snob.
yes.
Big time. I love drinks. I go to the gas station and get a different drink every day. Not every day, but like I love drinks. So I will be excited to see how this one tastes.
Yeah, I'll let you try mine. How about
I've had lots of different electrolytes that I really like. Waterboy is good. The flavor is always there, so.
Yeah, and I really feel like it works. I notice a huge difference after I drink it. So, and it tastes like sweet and like there's sugar in it, but there's zero sugar.
That's solid.
I really like it.
That is tasty.
Shout out to Waterboy. Thank you so much for sending. And now, Joe, now that I'm hydrated, I'm ready for your story. Internet frenzy, electric love, so trendy. Bites and bits we're blending. One click, no pretending.
All right. This one comes from Best Redditor Updates, originally posted on Grief Support.
Oh,
That's new to the podcast.
hey, I love new freaking stuff.
New stuff.
Love new stuff.
All right. My husband was arrested at the airport. I just discovered his criminal past and I'm spiraling.
Oh, shoot. Could you imagine?
I mean, could you imagine?
No. Oh, I'm scared. I need to look you up, bro.
I don't even know where to begin. My husband, 43, and I, 34, were about to leave for our honeymoon when he was suddenly detained at the airport. I had no idea this was coming. We've been married for a few months. Before that, we dated for over a year. I've no complaints about our relationship. We're extremely compatible. He's never asked me for anything and is beyond supportive. Still early days, but lawyers, not retained by myself, have advised that his sentence will be approximately 4 months in prison and 3 years probation.
Whoa.
I know he has been living openly for at least 5 years in our state. He's not hidden any other aspect of his life, and I otherwise have open access. Also, I've done background checks in both our current state and where he previously lived. Both showed no criminal history. We've flown internationally before about 10 months ago, and it would have been stupid of him to go on another international trip when there was a possibility of arrest. I'm truly confounded. After his detainment, we were able to speak very briefly in a chaotic moment. I later found out that he is being extradited for a serious crime, one I could not even imagine him being accused of. A day later, he was able to phone me. He apologized, acknowledged the stress he's put me under, and promised to tell me everything. His family insists he's innocent, but I'm playing devil's advocate with myself. Not because of his detainment, but because he never told me any of this before we got married. His omission has shaken the foundation of our relationship. I keep asking myself, should I hold on to hope, give things a chance to play out, or am I just prolonging my own suffering? I feel like I'm grieving my marriage and my future all at once, and I know moving forward will be beyond painful. If anyone has been through something similar or has advice on how to cope with this level of betrayal, grief, and uncertainty, please share. I feel like I'm drowning.
Yikes.
This is, this post is intentionally vague on some details to help protect my anonymity.
How many people out there do you think are actually getting background checks when they're like dating someone?
I have the same thought.
Because I never have had a background check on you before. Well, like, I never did that.
You also started dating me when I was like 22.
So you could still have a record at 22.
I mean, I guess that is true. That is true, but yeah, it's a different world out there in the real world when you're dating it. I mean, she was, what, 34? And he was 43?
But I feel like the circle I surround myself with, like, getting a background check is not necessarily, like, a thing at all. I'm sure there's, like, different circles in other areas that, yeah, like, they want to do a background check.
Somebody said, was it a bad check? Forgive and forget. Was it violent and or sexual? Run.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm, like, trying to put myself in her shoes, like, what I would do. But I feel like if it's something that has to do with the law and you've broken the law, she has every right to know before she gets into a relationship with him. Like, he should have disclosed that with her way before they got into, like, a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a freaking red flag, AF, that they're, like, traveling and he gets detained.
But
of course, that's going to shake her to her core.
That's traumatizing. And that would be so embarrassing.
Well, yeah. And, like, imagine your family.
Ugh.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, he got arrested in customs. He got arrested at the airport. Like, I have no idea why.
Yeah.
That's tough to come back from.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Plus, yeah, he just seems like a shady character. He seems like some, like, Mission Impossible guy.
Yeah. Well, do you think that was the fake? Yay or nay? Maybe. Maybe not. But maybe. I'm ready for my story. I-29F just found out my boyfriend's wife thinks he's dead, and I don't know what to do. This is posted on True Off My Chest. We met at church in Park City. I had just moved to Utah, didn't really know anyone, and he introduced himself after church. He was warm, easy to talk to, not overly outgoing, but not shy either. We started going on walks, movie dates, and it just kind of turned into a relationship. He told me early on that he didn't have social media, said he used to, but deleted everything during a really bad time in his life a few years ago. He mentioned some kind of falling out with family, and he said he moved to Utah to start fresh. I didn't press. He seemed honest. I liked that he lived simply. He has a cabin outside of town up in the mountains. That's where we always spent time, reading, cooking, hiking, just unplugging. It felt like a little retreat from everything. We weren't official, but we were consistent. I thought maybe it could turn into something more. Last weekend, we were getting ready to leave for a camping trip, and his wallet fell out of his bag. I picked it up, handed it to him, and saw his ID. The last name wasn't what he told me it was. At first, I thought maybe it was a middle name or maybe a legal name he didn't use anymore, but something about it just felt off. Later that night, after he went home, I Googled it. That's when everything unraveled. The first thing that came up was a missing persons report filed 4 months ago by a woman in Washington. She said her husband had gone camping and never came back. There were photos. One of them was him standing next to a truck I've literally ridden in. Another one was a close-up, and I knew that face. I had just kissed it 2 hours earlier. The woman who followed the report was his wife, and they have 3 kids. I didn't sleep. I stayed up reading every single thing I could find. I found her Facebook. It's public. Post after post of her begging people to help. Videos of her kids crying. Her kids holding signs. One of them said, "Please come home, Daddy. We miss you." I felt sick. She thinks he's dead. The kids think he's dead. And I've been dating him like he's just a regular guy.
Is that it? Oh my goodness.
I was shook when I found this.
Like, dog, how did you land in Utah of all places? Like,
that's exactly where a guy like that's going
to
land.
No. If you want to hide out, you don't go to the place where, like, every single person is connected by family or a church. Yeah. Like, you're going to be found, brother.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's absolutely crazy. Isn't that disgusting, though? What kind of human being is just going to dip and leave their children and wife and make them think that he's dead?
Oh, that, well, we've seen plenty of documentaries, not plenty, but like there's one that I can think of.
Yeah.
That a girl did the same thing. She like pretended to get jumped or mugged or something and then disappeared. And
but it was because of like an affair.
She was just chilling with the dude. Yeah. Chilling with her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. This one's a little different because he met her there. It's not like he was like going to his like mistress, but still, it's still effed up. Like, it's still terrible.
He just decided, nope, I'm going to go ahead and exit this life as I know it. Leave my three kids, leave my wife. And then what? He did it say how they met?
They met at church. So he was literally going to church.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm like, how do you feel even good about going into a building of a church, like a building?
Yeah, that defies it. That defies all of it. That just, you know.
Like, what are we, like, Lord, please help him.
Like, forgive me for abandoning my wife and three kids and letting them think that I'm dead. And please bless that I'll have a good day tomorrow.
And find a hot girl.
Like, that's terrible.
Like, sheesh. Well, it gets worse because there is an update.
No, there's not.
Yes, yes. No. Yes. So here's the update. I haven't said anything. I told him I was sick and canceled our trip. He said he'd go up to the cabin alone and be off grid for a few days. That was 4 days ago. Yesterday, I finally decided I couldn't sit with this anymore. I was going to tell him I knew. I opened our text thread to send the message and it went green. He had blocked me. I drove to the cabin this morning. Everything was empty. No truck, no clothes, nothing in the fridge. He's gone. And now I don't know what to do. Do I tell her? Do I tell the cops? What do I even say? How do you tell someone their husband isn't dead? He just started all over again.
Oh, yeah. You definitely tell her. You definitely tell the cops.
The fact it's been 4 days from her finding out and she still didn't tell the wife or the authorities, like, pisses me off.
Yeah, 100%. Like, there's so many resources going into trying to find dude. And he's just like...
And she knows all along now. 4 days. 4 days. The authorities could have, like, done something. Like, what would they do in that case? Would they? They're not going to arrest him.
Well, yeah, I think they would bring him back.
I don't think you can. They don't have the power to do that.
No?
No. They can't arrest him. He didn't break the law.
Well, it's highly frowned upon.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, I don't know how that works. But it seems like... If they knew that he was alive and well, I don't think they'd be like, okay, well, see you later. By the way, wife, yeah, he's alive. He's just in Utah, like at a church meeting.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they would do, though. Like, that's all they could do is just let the wife know where he is.
And to think they've wasted all that money on searching and probably, like, checking the woods by his house.
Ridiculous. Well, I have a question for you.
Shoot it.
Okay. Is there any situation where disappearing like this is justified?
If your life is in danger,
okay.
If you're a gang member, if you're in the mob and they're going to chop you up and put you in a barrel and sink you down to the bottom of a lake, go ahead and disappear.
And leave your children and wife screwed?
Ideally, you're going to tell the wife too. You're going to say, hey, I'm going to dip. You want to dip with me? We can go to the Bahamas.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, there is a comment. There's a couple, but I'll just read one that I really liked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This story will haunt me, not even kidding. I read it this morning and it's still stuck in my head. Who just leaves a whole life behind and starts another like it's nothing? The level of detachment is actually terrifying. And I really like that last line because I think that's so true. He just is fully detached.
Yeah, that's a dangerous person.
Yeah, there's something really wrong up here.
Yeah, up here and right here.
And right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to go to church more, but...
Apparently back not. Apparently that's not the answer.
But back with his family.
Yeah, like be a better human.
Yeah, so sad. Well, that's my story.
That one was gnarly.
I know, it's freaking crazy, dude.
Can I go?
You may.
All right, this next one comes from Best of Redditor Updates. OOP discovers his wife is having an affair when he is called in by the police for questioning involving the assault of her lover. Yo.
Oh. Shoot.
Title of the first post. This is from 2021. I'm completely lost because I just found out that my 42M wife, 36F of 12 years, has been having an affair from the police who called me in for questioning involving the assault of her lover. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I don't know if this is the right sub or even if I should be posting this, but I don't have a clear mind right now, and I'm here to ask for some direction. I've been married to my wife for 12 years. We have an amazing 11-year-old son. Until last night, I thought we had a good marriage. I thought I was always really good to her. We have no money problems, no intimacy problems, and I've never taken her for granted. I honestly wake up every morning and thank God that she is my wife. Now I don't know what to think. I got a call from my local PD as I was getting off work yesterday. They asked if I could come to the police station as soon as possible. I panicked. I asked if something had happened to my wife or son. They said not to worry, just get to the station ASAP. When I got there, they put me in a room with a table and some chairs. They asked me my name, which I gave. Then they started asking all these questions about a guy my wife works with. I haven't seen or spoken to this guy literally since December 2019 at my wife's company Christmas party. The two officers kept asking me things like, how long have you known and how did you find out? The only answer I could give was, what are you talking about? After about an hour of this, I just stopped answering their questions and kept asking where my son and wife were and were they safe. We just kept going around and around until after about 2 hours on and off, because they would periodically leave the room for 15 to 20 minutes. They come back and start it all over again like some cheap cop show. The last time they came in, the cop handed me a tablet and showed me a video of my wife and the guy from her work being intimate. I don't remember much after that. I just remember screaming, "What the F is this?" over and over again. I had a full-blown panic attack right there in the middle of the police station. The police had a paramedic check me out, and he said my blood pressure was something like 170 over 110. He wanted me to go to the hospital, but I refused and said I needed to find my wife and my son. After I calmed down, the officers explained that the guy in the video had been having an affair with my wife and apparently several other women. He had been found that morning in his driveway, beaten, essayed, and set on fire. Whoa. He was still alive, but in critical condition, and they didn't know if he would make it. His wife had given them permission to go through his phone and computer, and that's where they found the video of my wife. They asked me where I was that morning, and I told them the gym, then work about 10 minutes from my gym. At that point, they said I could go, but that I might not want to stay at my house because they didn't know if his affair with my wife could be why he was attacked. They also said my wife wasn't the only person he was having an affair with. That's when I rushed home. My son was staying with our neighbors, so I got him and went home. We packed some clothes and his laptop for school, and we headed to my parents' house 45 minutes away. I still haven't heard from my wife. Her phone is going straight to voicemail. I've called the officer who gave me his card, and he said she is at the hospital with the guy she's been cheating with. I'm sitting here in bed with my son on one side of me and my 38 on the other. My dad is sleeping in his chair in the living room with the shotgun across his lap, and I've not slept in over 30 hours. I don't even know where to start. Anything would be helpful right now. Any advice or ideas? I'm in a fog. Gee, you're in a fog?
Bro, like, get out of here.
There is so much going on here.
It is clear as crystal.
Yeah, it is clear as mud. What is going on? You've got the dude that's burnt to a crisp that is the offender in the story. And then you've got the wife at his side at the hospital.
Yeah. Like, she was sleeping with him.
She's like, another one. Forget my family. I'm going to be with the perpetrator here. And then
he did her way dirty.
He got essayed. He got lit on fire. So that's post one.
Oh my gosh.
Update number one. For those people who said my post was fake, my only reply is I wish. From the bottom of my heart, it was. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. For those who said they couldn't find a news story, apparently due to the nature of the attack, a lot of information was withheld. Even our local news outlets only reported it as an assault, and it was nothing more than a blurb on our nightly news. I found out from my lawyer that police can literally do or say anything they want, especially if you aren't under arrest, short of direct threats of harm. That includes lying directly to your face, which they did. It turns out my wife wasn't at the hospital with her lover when I contacted the detective. She had been admitted to that hospital psychiatric facility much earlier in the day while he was still in surgery.
Yikes!
I don't know why they would lie about that, but they did. Needless to say, this situation has caused me to become very suspicious of law enforcement. After I woke up that afternoon, I contacted my uncle's law partner, who is a family friend. He actually came to my parents' house and sat down with me to go over my options. His entire law firm is now representing me, both in the divorce and criminal defense. Okay, let's go.
Oh, yay.
That day, Sunday, He got me an emergency custody order and a protective order against my wife for me, my son, and my parents. Our court date is in 60 days. The police served her on Monday as she was leaving the psych hospital. According to her brother, who was a close personal friend of mine, she did not take it well. She's staying with her parents for the time being. I still haven't talked to her, and she hasn't made any attempt to speak to me either. Whether that's due to shame, indifference, or the order of protection, I don't know. I'm glad of it all the same. My wife is not the person I thought she was, and I'm ashamed of myself for not seeing it sooner.
It's crystal clear, baby.
I mean, this. Where is this going? I had to tell my son something, so I decided to tell him the truth, age appropriate, and literally the first words out of his mouth was, "Please don't let mommy take me away." I asked him why he would say that, and from what he tells me, my wife has been treating him very badly when I wasn't around, and told him if he told me, she would take him away and my son would never see me again.
Aww.
Ooh, that's dumb. I hate that. She's been emotionally torturing our son, and I was too blind to see it. That wrecked me more than the video, to be honest. I told the lawyer about what my son said, and he used my son's statement and her mental state and commitment to get the emergency custody. I have contacted his school for therapy resources, and he will start therapy after the first of the year. I feel like the worst father to ever walk the face of the earth at this point. Mm. Chill, bro. You can't be that hard on yourself. You got a day job. As for our families, her parents contacted me Tuesday and asked to come see us. I was still with my parents at the time, and I told them they could come, but she was not allowed anywhere near us. They agreed. They were so apologetic, and her poor mother didn't stop crying the entire time she was with us. Her father was heartbroken and kept referring to my wife as that girl. They both said they felt like something was going on with her, and they did not raise her to be this way. We hugged and cried before they left, and I told them they will always be a part of our lives no matter what happens with the divorce. After what my son told me, their visit was the hardest part of our whole ordeal. My lawyer's been doing amazing work so far. They found out that the man my wife was sleeping with has a long criminal record. One of the lawyers informed me that when they went to print out the guy's arrest record, the printer ran for 5 minutes straight.
Oh my gosh.
From what they could learn, he is currently on parole for drug offenses and has had gang affiliations in the past. He is still alive but in critical condition and still may not make it. The firm has an investigator who contacted the coworker who drove my wife to the hospital. The coworker informed them that my wife's affair was an open secret around the office. My lawyers think that's how the police figured out who I was and who my wife was in the video.
Wow.
There are several photos of last year's Christmas party at her work, and my wife and I are in several of them. That's where I currently am in this whole situation. I am just numb, still lost, and heartbroken. How long does the numbness last, and is there any way to get past this emotional lethargy faster? I mean, really numb, like a dream. Everything I've just said has felt like it's happening to someone else. That sucks for the grandparents.
Yeah.
Grandparents are like, oh, that's our daughter. She did that to you?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I think it's really great, the precautionaries he's taking. Like, he's doing all the right things. You've got a lawyer who's doing the restraining order. He's, especially with his parents and his son and him, like, he's doing what he needs to do to protect his family.
But protect?
Yeah, she's crazy.
But she didn't, we don't know if she did anything yet.
Well, her mental health is pretty wild.
But so the whole restraining order thing, if she's actually dangerous, if you feel like she's dangerous, okay. All right, let's move on to update number two. It's the last update. It's a little long. But let's get it. Sorry for the novel. I just needed to vent and get this week off my chest. Found out wife was cheating from cops questioning me about the assault of the guy she was cheating with. Divorcing. Now she claims she has substance abuse problems and asks for another chance. I feel like an idiot for not seeing it when we were together. I will start off by saying thank you to everyone who replied to both my original post and the update. This sub really did help me so much. If I didn't respond to you directly, I'm sorry, but I got so many messages I can't keep up with them all. First, my son is doing so much better. He started therapy the first week of January, and the difference is already noticeable. I asked him if he felt comfortable with me talking to his therapist, and he said yes, so I've had a few discussions with her. According to the therapist, my soon-to-be ex would verbally and emotionally abuse our son whenever they were alone together. He was not allowed to make noise or bother her in any way when he was home. She would leave him alone for hours on end and even overnight if I was out of town. She would then threaten him with being taken away and never see me again if he told me or anyone else. The therapist said this has made him feel powerless and dependent in a time in his development that she should actually be feeling empowered and self-reliant. So to that end, I have bought him his own phone and helped him memorize family members' phone numbers and as many addresses as are relevant. I've also been teaching him situational awareness to pay attention to street names and how to read addresses on buildings. We've also role-played how to ask people for help, how he can clearly explain to strangers that he's in trouble and he doesn't feel safe. I know this may sound silly, but my son can be a bit introverted and shy when he doesn't feel comfortable. Even though we've only been doing this for a few weeks, I can see that it's really building his confidence. Any suggestions on how to continue to build his self-reliance would be really helpful. His safety and well-being is still my number one concern right now. As for myself, I'm doing as good as can be expected. I started therapy around the same time as my son, and although I don't speak to my therapist as much as he does, it's helped me to be able to talk through my thoughts and feelings about everything that has happened to us and our family. The numbness is gone, but it was replaced by a white-hot ball of anger in the pit of my stomach whenever I think about my soon-to-be ex and what she's put our family through. Funny enough, although I hate feeling angry, it's a lot easier to deal with than the numbness. My therapist says this is a part of the grieving process, and it's not how we feel, but how we channel those emotions that matter. My legal situation. Well, I'll be honest. It's the scariest thing I've ever dealt with in my life. I was awarded temporary full custody and child support, which I didn't want, but my lawyer pretty much demanded we ask for, as well as a continuation of the order of protection for myself and my son. At the request for an order hearing, which neither my wife nor her lawyer showed up to, the judge asked if we would allow supervised visitation, but my son absolutely refused, which was why my lawyer told me to bring him along. The judge asked my son if he would speak to him alone, and he agreed. The judge, stenographer, and a child welfare officer went into chambers with my son and met for about 10 minutes. After their meeting, the judge granted the temp orders and ordered therapy and psychological evaluation for my son. Luckily, the therapist he is seeing is somehow involved with or accredited to work with the court, so he doesn't have to see another therapist. My lawyer said this is a good thing because it means his therapist can give a recommendation for custody, but it still scares the hell out of me that she could get some form of custody after what she put him through. As for the affair partner, I don't know much. From what my lawyers have gathered, he's alive but still in the hospital. I haven't heard from the police since my initial interview, so nothing new to report there. As for my soon-to-be ex, I still hadn't seen her since the day I was questioned until Thursday. She's attempted to call me a few times, but I haven't answered, and when she called from another number, I hung up immediately. I have nothing to say to her, and I don't want to hear anything she has to say to me. Her lawyer requested a preliminary hearing for our court-appointed mediation. She was served the second week of January. She was there with her lawyer, and I know this will sound petty, but even with the mask, she looked bad. My soon-to-be ex was always an attractive and athletic woman. I swear, in our wedding photos, she looks like a supermodel. But now, well, she's lost so much weight, it's disturbing. She looks sick and frail. She didn't even look at me. She just sat with her face down through most of the meeting. Long story short, everything they asked for was ridiculous. They wanted visitation during the divorce proceedings and shared custody after. They want us to drop the OPs. She wants to cohabitate until the divorce is finalized. I'm not joking. After all this, she wants to live in the same house. It was so insulting that my head throbbed through the whole meeting. But it was all worth it for the big reveal we gave to her lawyer. Her lawyer asked how we should handle discovery for the division of assets, to which my lawyer got this shocked look on his face and said, "What division of assets? Read the prenup." The look on her lawyer's face was priceless. She hadn't told her lawyer about the prenup. My late uncle, who's the founding partner of the law firm I use, wrote that prenup and actually hired her a lawyer to look over it for her before we were married. According to my lawyer, it's a thing of beauty because we never mixed finances per my uncle's instructions. The house we live in was a gift to me from my uncle before we married. All the utilities and insurances are in my name. All the vehicles are registered in the owner's name only, and we never had to sign for any debt for each other. We have one shared savings account that is used for household maintenance and an emergency fund. It has around $8,000 in it, which she has already drained. There is less than $300 in it now. The prenup states that all marital assets and debt are to be divided 50-50, and ownership of all intangible assets and personal debt reverts back to the individual who accrued it. The adultery clause simply states that we agree that if either party is caught or admits to committing adultery, they lose the right to claim any form of spousal support. There's a lot more to it than this, but my lawyer assures me that trying to break this prenup will be damn near impossible because it is the most fair prenup he's ever read.
Oh my gosh.
The last thing her lawyer asked for was what really messed with me. He asked that we postpone the official mediation for 6 months while my soon-to-be ex attends an inpatient rehab facility for substance abuse. Some people in both my last post stated that she might have a substance abuse issue, but I didn't even think about it because I couldn't even fathom that. I talked to my lawyer and he said that we would discuss it and get back with them about our decision on that. Before we left, my soon-to-be ex spoke literally for the first time and asked me to read a letter she had written me. My lawyer gave me the "this could be a snake, so be careful" look, and I debated with myself for a moment, but decided to take it. When I got home, I read it, and now I wish it hadn't. It started off with all those busted cheater platitudes that everyone warned me about. I love you. I love our family. I know I mistreated our son, and I hate myself for it. I want us again. But she did explain that after a major surgery she had about 2 years ago, she started abusing her medication. After a while, she started buying them from some of the people she worked with, including her AP. He became her go-to guy, and when she ran out of money, she started sleeping with him to make up the difference. She said she hid this from me because she was afraid I would make her stop, and she couldn't feel right without them anymore. That he meant nothing to her but a fix, and she hates herself for doing what she's done both to herself and to us. Now she says she understands how awful what she's done is and wants to get better for our family, and asked me to at least give her some time to prove she wants this. Let me state for the record, I will never get back with my wife. Our marriage was over the moment she cheated on me and abused our son. But dang, where the F was I while all this was going on? I just feel like the most naive, obtuse idiot to ever walk the earth. And furthermore, how should I approach this from here? Am I just throwing her away, or am I still justified in feeling betrayed? I feel like such a failure as a husband and a father right now. I mean, I feel nothing for her but anger and resentment. But is this how you treat someone fighting the demon she's fighting? I'm just lost and feel so hopeless again. Anyway, any advice would be much appreciated here.
Wow.
So this is the crazy part. It's like the wife is obviously a horrible person. Mm-hmm. Like there's no question. The mistreatment of the son is inexcusable. All the stuff that she said, the substance abuse. But then like the human part of me pops up and is like, okay, you could eviscerate this lady. You could literally ruin her life forever. She never sees her son again. She gets nothing in the divorce because prenup. Or you could like use it to have a really positive impact on her life. Not saying that they need to be chummy, but like extend grace. What about like, okay, it's the divorce is going to be over. Like, why don't you try to lift her from the hellhole that she's in by just saying like visitation's okay. Like you can do supervised visits. Like he's going to ride off into the sunset. He's completely protected by the prenup. He's going to be fine. He's going to find a better spouse.
Yeah. But the only person that's hurting is the son. Then you're just saying to have him open that door for the dad or for the mom to meet with the kid. But the kid has very much made it clear that, like, at this time, he wants nothing to do with her. Maybe when he's an adult, he can make that choice, but...
Well, he's 11 right now.
Right. So.
And, yeah, I mean, of course, when he's an adult, he can. But I just think when you look at a situation like this, what's the best case scenario? Like, the actual best case scenario for all parties involved?
But her feelings really shouldn't matter at this point. Like, we don't really care about her. Like... She's kind of a crappy person. And she's going through a really hard time. That she's going to need to get help on her own. She shouldn't have to do that while damaging her son in the meantime. I think it's great you're trying to be like the bigger person and be like, give her grace. But she's the only reason why I'm like against her being around the kid is because the kid has expressed all of the things she's done to him.
And yeah, I mean, I just don't think a kid, like a vulnerable, sad kid that's gone through a lot of stuff, he's not gonna have any like real concept of what's going on. And like, yeah, he
put yourself in this husband's shoes though. What if it was me?
And that's what I did.
Your daughter says that mom's been doing this for years, and I am being questioned for lighting my affair partner on fire. Like, you don't know for a fact if she was the one that did it or not.
No, and it didn't even say that she was being questioned, but getting checked into the psych ward is one thing. It's the letter. It's the fact that she was like, look, it's substance abuse issues.
But it was all self-serving. She wanted them to cohabitate. What is it? Cohabitate?
Yeah, cohabitate. You know, yeah, and that's like, I would have said no to that. Like, but definitely not.
That's what I'm saying. She just wanted to do it because she wants her old life back.
There's some of that, but there's also like, she's destroyed everything. So at what point do you just say, hey, like, I'm going to help you toss the shovel out and stop digging the hole that you're already in?
But it's not his responsibility to do that anymore.
No, but it's hers. it's the person that he loved for all these years, and every part of their relationship was great.
Yeah.
What he thought.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, it wasn't. If she's over here doing her thing, she's a crappy person. But
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we will agree to disagree on that.
We definitely will.
Yeah. I think if there was a kid not involved, then I would be more willing to say, like, if you need to help her out a little bit, go for it. And you're a bigger person for doing that. But because there's a kid involved, I disagree. Even though that was a long story, that was a really good one. And I feel like there is a lot to unpack on that. But we only have so many minutes in the day, so many hours in the day. So we're going to move on to my story. And this will be the final story of the day. So this comes from our relationship advice. Found arrest records for the man M42, IF28 have been dating. How can I safely end things with him? IF28 started seeing M42 a few weeks ago. We met at his job and instantly hit it off. I haven't really connected with anyone lately, so I was super excited about this man. I really like him. However, something has felt off. It honestly felt like he was love bombing me. I thought he was just a cheesy guy or desperate, but he does everything excessively. Like, nonstop compliments and talk about how I'm his dream girl. Flowers and gifts. Loud displays of affection in public, literally yelling out loud how much he adores me. Plus, he has needed to have constant communication. If I don't respond to a text, he will spam until I respond. Aside from the love bombing, he is coming out of a divorce. I haven't asked for details about it because he doesn't know why my last relationship ended either. All I know is they were married for 20 years. She left him, and he was very depressed for a while. But he keeps talking about me as if I'm a blessing that entered his life. His verbatim says, when a door closes, a window opens, and this window has finally opened at least once each time I see him. He has done this since the first date, so at first I thought he was excited. I mean, after the second date, he was going to tell everyone he has a girlfriend. He did not ask me out. He and I took a selfie together. On Thursday, he sent me a crop version of just me that had my nose piercing photoshopped out, and it was enhanced by AI. It really creeped me out. I had been having a sinking feeling in my stomach, so I canceled our plans for Thursday and Friday. On Friday night, I started telling my neighbor about how weird the guy has been. She asked if I had a photo, and I didn't, so I deep-dived to find him. Like, I was working off his age, first name, and last initial. I found his Facebook, which confirmed his divorce. Something still felt off, so I Googled him, and a mugshot where he looks rough popped up. The charges listed were violation of protective order. I liked him, but now I'm kind of scared of him. Maybe I'm being dramatic. I just don't think I would feel safer on him. How can I safely end things? My neighbor said to block him, but I don't want to risk getting stalked or anything.
Yikes. The dude's a sketch.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it's so hard because I feel like as girls especially, it's like, oh, maybe I'm being dramatic. But like, no, if your gut is telling you something's off, something is off. Trust it. And you're not being dramatic. This is creepy. Can you imagine taking a selfie with a guy you're dating and literally he sends the selfie back, but he crops himself out and he takes out your nose ring and then you're AI'd, like you are enhanced. You look whatever, your skin's smoother, your eyes are brighter, your teeth are whiter, like all the things.
Like, what was the goal?
I would be so shook.
Hey, I fixed the hole in your nose.
I would... And he cropped himself out. He took himself out of it just to send it to her. Like, I'd be like, where's the photo of me and you that we took? Why would you do that? Like, it's weird.
Then some 42-year-olds need to stay off the internet.
Yeah, so he's 42.
He's 42. She's 28.
Yeah.
Recently divorced. Just think about that. He was married for 20 years.
That's a long
time. So he got married at 22. She was 8 when he got married.
Sick.
That is so gnarly.
That is so gross to me.
Like, ugh. And he's just all gas, no brakes. Like, oh yeah, this is my girlfriend now. Like, yeah, this is cool. My girlfriend. Look, she doesn't have a nose piercing. I fixed it.
And he never even asked her out. Like, he never said, will you be my girlfriend?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how that all works. But I do know that you don't just assume after 2 dates that you've got a girlfriend. Searching his name, first of all, probably everyone should do that, right?
If you're dating
somebody, shouldn't you just like, take a peek.
I feel like this episode has got me thinking. Like, I was so naive. I didn't like, I mean, yes, I saw your, like, I stalked your Instagram and your Facebook, but.
At length.
No. And your Twitter.
Scrolling into the history books.
I did. Yeah. I feel like this episode opened my eyes to, like, ladies and men, if you're dating, look them up, Google that name and see what comes up, because you can never be too careful.
Seriously. And yeah, I'm just thinking of the reality for a lot of people. If you live in a big city, if you live in, say you live in Phoenix, you live in New York City or LA, like,
yeah,
if you meet somebody, you come from different worlds, different places, like, it probably is the right thing to do to get a background check done, to like just find out anything that you want to find out.
100%.
It sounds dramatic, but man, you just never know.
Like, you never know.
You could date somebody and it's like you could have no idea. It could be a spy.
Oh, I mean, a spy is not that bad.
Unless it's a Russian spy that's here to take out the president.
Also, you guys, that is our story. Now, remember, the premise of our entire podcast is we do three truths and one fake. You guys need to think about which story you think was the fake of this week's episode. In the beginning of next week's episode, we'll announce which fake was from this episode. Sorry if that's confusing, but stay with me here. So, again, the theme, I loved you, then I Googled you. It was a good time, you guys. Thanks for being here. And Waterboy, we love you. Go check them out, you guys. We actually have an Amazon storefront now. So search Internet Frenzy Storefront on Amazon. And it's everything that we absolutely love is going to pop up there. Trust me, there's some good stuff.
And like literally, that's it.
That's it, y'all. Have a good week. All.
We'll see you guys next week. And don't worry, we're getting back on the horse here. The episodes are going to start coming in a little bit more frequently. Last thing I'm going to mention for the podcast listeners, we've had a couple of guests that we were excited about that bailed on us. That's part of what has, like, why we've dealt with some delays and this and that.
So yeah.
Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.
And get a background check. Bye.
Yeah, get a background check on your mom. Gotta go. Internet frenzy, electric love, so trendy. And this we're blending. One click, no pretending.